and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. In recent months, Malaysia's food security has been thrust into the spotlight due to concerns over rice supply issues and the potential implications of that. Now, to delve deeper into this crucial issue and to understand the strategies and responsibilities of the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, we are joined today by Deputy Minister Chan Fung Hin. He is also the DAP Member of Parliament for Kota Kinabalu. Welcome to the show, Chan. It's good of you to join me today. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to help us understand the current situation of Malaysia's rice supply. Can you begin our conversation today with an update? How is the resilience of Malaysia's rice supply as of today?
All right. So thank you, Melissa, for inviting me to share my thoughts on this hotly debated topic, which is recently becoming the hot issues among the rakyat. So I think I start with the big picture that Malaysia, in fact, we should talk about the self-sufficiency level, SSL. So the SSL for the rice for Malaysia basically is 65%, roughly 65%, sometimes higher, sometimes lower. And roughly we need to import 35% of the white rice in order to make up the the balance of the demand for this country. So recently, what actually happened was the international rice price going up. Since August 2022, basically during that time, the international price for the rice, I mean the white rice, still traded at around USD 400. Okay, but then for this August, this 400 USD already increased up to USD 650. So it means that internationally, the rice actually is going up. So why the rice is going up? Because you have these climate change issues, you have some geopolitical issues such as India, they limit the export of this
non-basmati
white rice, and also Pakistan, one of the main rice exporter of the international market, they also face the issue of the flooding, so that the harvest was dropped.
Okay.
So out of this context, because of this, so basically it's the issue of supply and demand.
Okay.
So when your supply was decreasing, definitely the price is going up.
Understood.
Okay.
Okay.
So because of this, then for the imported white rice from Malaysia, basically we adopt the free market. So the imported white rice, in fact, we will follow the market price. So Bernas, they are the sole importer for the white rice to this country. Basically, they have a few engagements with our ministry. They request to have the price increase since many months back, but because of our government try to avoid the panic buying and also try to good affordable pricing to the rakyat, so that we ask them try to drag it until the level they couldn't absorb the loss. So started 1st of September, Bernas decided to increase the price for the imported white rice for this country. So after that, of course, there would be the shift of the demand from the imported white rice to the local white rice. Because the local white rice in Malaysia, the price is under control. So we still control it at 2 ringgit and 60 cent per kilo. But the imported white rice, since we allow them to increase according to the international market trend, so that's why the gap in between the local rice and also the imported rice becoming wider and bigger. So this is the
current situation.
The current situation.
Now. Okay, thank you for laying it out for me. Now let's talk about how to address some of the different implications of the current situation. Now, so what are the policy tools that you are prescribing to deal with the current situation? You talked about price stabilization. Is that the best policy tool that you have right now to deal with the current situation?
Okay. Food inflation in Malaysia basically is a major part of measuring the inflation for this country. And so far, the inflation rate in this country keep quite low, according to the official statistics, because we heavily subsidize certain things such as the food and also the fuel and the oil. So this how Malaysia operates, okay? And when we allow the imported rice price going up, it would affect the demand for the local rice. Even though we still control it at 2.60 ringgit, but because of the shift of the demand, so the supply of this local white rice becoming such, and then when more and more people try to look for this at the market, so you will always hear about the complaint that they cannot find it at the supermarket.
Okay, so if I may interrupt you, I just want to ask you, so right now we have people that shift in demand of from imported white rice to local beras padi tempatan,
yes.
Right? The people who need the price-controlled rice, locally produced price-controlled rice, are not getting it. Okay. As opposed to the people who can afford but choose not to buy it, taking up the stock. Wouldn't targeted subsidies or a cash transfer to deal with, wouldn't that be better and letting the price float?
Okay, targeted subsidy and might be some proposal to have some kind of the cash transfer, I think would be the topic, okay, when our Prime Minister going to unveil the budget of next year in October later on.
Okay.
So I will not deliver it on today, but
okay.
As of now, what we can do is, we understand that basically the major customers for this local white rice could be those restaurant owners, those F&B players, so that we impose a limitation for those to buy this local white rice. At one time, you could only buy up to 100 kilo. Because for instance, if let's say one family with five persons, normally you consume one pack of 10 kilo white rice for 1 month.
Mm.
So if right now our ministry still allow you to buy up to 100 kilo, it means that basically for any family, you should have enough of your rice stock, but only for those, the business owners for the F&B, even though we know that they are the major consumers for this segment of the market, but we could not stop them from buying,
okay.
so drastically.
Right.
So we need to have some soft landing so that we only limit them from buying more. 100 kilogram at one time.
So this is the first step.
Among the first step, yeah.
To limit the sale. Can I ask you, so Bernas raised prices 1st September.
Yep.
And then the government subsequently put in all these steps of limiting sales, of calling for more local rice to be produced. It's been a few weeks now so you can kind of see. I know it's not long term enough to see a huge change, but are you seeing any implications of the policies to indicate that it's the right steps that are being taken?
I believe these are the right steps because like what you say, right now could be too early to assess the programs, the interventions we have been introduced, but then up to right now, yesterday I just went to this one of the five major wholesalers of the white rice. So, and I witnessed by myself, I saw half of the warehouse are full with the unprocessed local white rice. Because you imagine that you have one ton of this guni, okay, of this 1 ton container of this local white rice, you need to process it down to 10 kilo packing, to 5 kilo packing. You can see it at the factory.
Okay.
So they are doing the processing job now, okay, day and night.
Mm.
But yet, at the supermarket there,
yes,
you will find that
the shelves are empty.
Yes, shelves are empty, but you must understand that, in fact, those goods, once arrived, will be finished in a very short period.
Okay, but if I may, so we have retailers like Maidin, like TF Value, saying that actually they're not getting the level that they once got. They're not getting the amount of rice bags that they once got.
No, now we beef up, okay?
We
beef up the logistics and also the allocation of the local white rice to the key supermarkets, and also we also empower or mobilize, okay, our agencies such as the Pharma and also the LPP through the outlets, okay, to have this local white rice at the outlet and make it available for the rakyat to consume, to purchase it. But then we target to see more tangible results after within a month. So now it's just the first phase of this program.
Okay.
So second phase would be started at next week.
Okay, and what is the second phase?
Okay, the first phase is, okay, we go through these five key wholesalers to supply the local white rice to the to let's say the 99's Speedmart, to Econsafe, to
Maidin,
okay, and also we mobilize the Pharma and also the LPP. This is the first step, the first phase. The second phase is we also engage with the smaller wholesalers.
Okay.
The smaller wholesalers, such as those Bumi Putra small wholesalers, they also have the stock available, and for them to make it to make the stock available at those rural areas. Because at the rural area, you've always faced another issue, the issue of the logistics.
Mm.
So at right now, we need to to ensure that at least at the urban area, the rakyat can see this first. Then the next phase is we go up to the rural area.
Can I ask you very quickly, what about claims?
Claims
that locally produced rice is being sold as imported rice to,
okay,
to rent seek.
We heard a lot of this, right? But then we have 100 over operations, okay, at site. And until now, we couldn't find any concrete proof for this incident. So for someone who has the clue, please contact our ministry.
Okay, so you're looking for whistleblowers there. Okay. Come back to the phases. So that was phase two that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And then these are kind of short-term...
Short-term measures. Yeah.
How does it work out to the future? Because you talked about the self-sufficiency level of 65%.
Mm.
Are you looking to increase that number, given that who knows what kind of shortages are in the future with the climate crisis upon us?
Okay. In fact, all those long-term measures, we have introduced it since we took over the government. So, for example, our minister, Mat Sabu, he's very particular about the paddy planting.
Mm.
So he want to introduce one of this program called Smart SPB ala Sekinchan. Means that we need to adopt the Sekinchan model, to Getah, to Perlis. Okay. What is the Sekinchan model? Sekinchan, you look at the yield. The yield is around 6 to 7 ton per hectare of the paddy. But you look at the yield at the Getah and Perlis, you could find just 3.5 ton per hectare. So how to increase the Getah, the Perlis, especially at the Mata area, as far as the Sekinchan one? So you need to adopt certain certain working culture at this area, such as, okay, you need to encourage them, the small planters, you must organize them in such a more disciplinary way. You need to follow certain schedule, okay, at what time you should go down to the paddy field, at what time you should do what. So when the rain, the raining is coming, you just sit at your house, or you need to take your time at the your time at your paddy field. So these are the things we talk about, the working culture. How do we improve it? This is one of these ala Sekinchan. So other long-term measure we talk about is 5 seasons per 2 years. Currently we have only 2 seasons of harvesting per year. So we look forward to increase it to 2 years, 5 seasons. 2 years, 5 seasons of the harvesting. So, but it needs a major revamp at the irrigation system. So that's why our Prime Minister, he has dedicated and committed to allocate 3 billion ringgit to upgrade the irrigation system at the Mata. So this is among the long-term measures we want to introduce to increase the yield of this country. And you look at this SSL now. Now we have around 3.5 ton average for this nation.
Mm.
So with 3.5 ton per hectare, we achieve 65% of the SSL. If we increase this yield from 3.5 up to 5 ton per hectare. In fact, we have 80% of the SSL.
Okay. Okay. So the target is 80%.
And more. And 80% more. Is towards to 2030.
So the 80% is in 2030. So
yes.
Can I ask, coming back to increasing the production and the yield and the efficiency of maybe the small scale farmers, what incentivizes them to do that? Because right now they are in a hard spot. They're pinched. They're being squeezed at all sides. How would you take care of the small scale farmers?
In fact, government has provided numerous of the incentives, the subsidies to the paddy farmers. Up to 60% of the production costs of the farmer basically bear by the government.
Up to 60%.
60%, all right, okay. But before that, we always emphasize on the input subsidy. Means that fertilizer the fertilizer, your rachun, all these things.
Okay.
But this is all input fertilizer. The input subsidy means what? The input subsidy doesn't really relate to the output. It doesn't relate to how much or how much you produce. So now we are doing the transition from the input subsidy to output subsidy. And recently we have just increased the output subsidy from 360 ringgit per ton to 500 ringgit per ton. It means what? The more you produce, the more you can claim.
But you bear the cost of the input.
Government. We still bear the cost of the input. And on top of that, we add in the element of the output subsidy.
Okay.
To increase more productivity.
All right. I would like to move the conversation away from just paddy, because rice security is not just limited to us eating rice. Food security is not just limited to us eating rice. Can we talk a little bit about how the ministry is thinking about strengthening the country's food security as a whole? If I understand correctly, Malaysia imports us. We are a net food importer. Food output, so red meat, dairy products, all of that, we are net importers, but we also are like 90% import factors, like you said, fertilizer, pesticides, seeds, breeds for livestock, feed for livestock, corn, soybeans, other cereals, machines, fertilizer, also labor. All of this are subject to or at risk of currency fluctuations, supply chain disruptions, war. How is the ministry thinking about food security in the long term like that?
Okay, under this midterm review for the RMK 12, the ministry is talking about high growth, high value. How to make agriculture sector as the high growth, high value HGHV sector. Okay, for example, we always think that the farmers are the one who needs a lot of the bantuan, a lot of the supporting from the government. But let's have another paradigm shift, okay? So could we treat them, the farmer, the fisherman, every one of them basically is a business owner. The first thing first, okay, to increase the food security is you need to ensure that the farmer, the fisherman, they also can cari makan first.
Okay.
Okay. If they can earn by their own, it means that naturally, they produce more and the SSL is achievable, right? Mm. Okay. So we are very particular about this. We take this paddy as the example. Right now, the issue of the shifting of the demand, okay, from the imported rice to the local rice, because of what? Because of we want to maintain the 2.60 ringgit. In fact, it's a low-cost model for our food. It means what? The 2.60 ringgit is the price cap. Okay, we say, okay, we want to ensure that the food is available for the rakyat.
Okay, because food security is also about affordability,
yes,
right? Okay.
Yes, but at the same time, if we just always do not review these 2.60 ringgit inherited since 2008. So imagine that if you are a farmer, so you keep on to work for last 15 years, but your salary, your income never increased. So do you expect them can produce more food for you? So this is another question we need to ask ourselves, right? So if following this model, what I try to say is we need to depart from the low-cost model so that we go into the mindset of how to make the agriculture as the high-growth, high-value sector. If we always trap at the situation that we must ensure the food is cheap. Not affordable, it's cheap, very, very cheap. The food is cheap by subsidize it. So in fact, this incentive, I'll say you disprove the incentives for the farmers, for the fishermen to do more. Because no matter what you do, you still sell your products at 2.60 ringgit.
Okay.
But this is a long term tight balance
because you are trying to manage the stakeholder of the farmers.
Yes.
And you're also managing the stakeholder of the public. Who have been conditioned for cheap food or cheap products. I want to ask you a more fundamental question about your ministry. What do you think the people expect from your ministry? This is the first time we have a ministry of food, agriculture and food security.
Okay.
What do you think is expected of your ministry?
Okay, food security basically is a very big topic, okay? And not only one ministry involved in the food security. Because food security, you have a few dimensions. Our ministry basically just look at the issue of the production. We need to ensure that there is enough supply.
Yes.
At the market,
yes.
Okay? No matter local produce or imported. Oh, that is the meaning of this the availability. So you have the issue of the affordability. The issue of the affordability are under the jurisdiction of the KPDN.
Okay.
They come to ensure that, okay, let's say Hari Raya season, we need to have some price cap, okay, for certain goods, okay, to let you to have a festive mood, okay, for short term, yes. But for long term, you look at the issue of the chicken and eggs. So when we suppress the price from floating according to the market signal, so government have to allocate up to 2 billion just to subsidize our chicken and egg farmers so that they can continue to produce the food and then rakyat to enjoy it. But the problem is, the more we are doing this, it creates some other side issues, such as the late payment for the subsidy reclaim and all this. And eventually, our chicken and farmer, our chicken and egg capacity, in fact, is quite near to 100% or even more than 100% SSL. We can produce enough chicken and eggs.
Okay.
But when the last administration they introduced this model to control the price, so if you are locked into the situation that the more you produce, the more you get the loss, is this sustainable? So by introducing the subsidy, also, yes, it's a kind of the intervention, but this is not a long-term solution.
Right.
So when we talk about this RMK12, one of the tagline is the rationalization of the subsidy.
Understood.
Yeah.
So coming back to my question about what it is that you think people want to see
of
out of your ministry.
People want to
is
see...
Is it cheap? Is it cheap food? Is it available food?
I
is
think
it
most,
stocked shelves?
Most fundamental thing is available. You must ensure that your food is available first before you talk about whether you afford to buy it, right?
Okay.
Right. Like the issue of the local rice now, people get frustrated not because of the price, because of they come to the supermarket, they couldn't find it. So the availability for me is more important than the affordability. That is the most fundamental things. So our ministry is entrusted by the government to take charge of this part. So for the rice issue right now, in fact, we ensure you have enough rice available at the market. If you do not really keen about you buy the local or you buy the imported. In fact, you go to the supermarket, you still find a lot of the rice available there. So this is our tagline, because at the end of the day, before we talk about the availability, we should talk about the
affordability.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So in the couple minutes we have left, I want to ask you, in the budget, the upcoming budget, and in that you will have a plan of how to deal with food security all the way from rice shortages to, you know, increasing our self-sufficiency level within for the next year. I want to understand what you are hoping to get out of budget.
Of course, there are some things inherited. Okay, so some programs would carry forward. Okay, from year to year. But some new elements which maybe I can disclose here is we look forward to have some big data kind of things.
Big data?
Yes. Because when we talk about smart farming, when we want to move towards to the direction that we want to make agriculture as sexy as other sector, is a high growth, high value sector, so we need some sort of big data. The big data can help us to assist us in addressing the issue such as the vegetable dumping. Mm. So for example, every year should we face the issue of the vegetable farming, the vegetable dumping, because one area could be oversupply, but we never match them with those
wastage,
other areas which is in need of this kind of the vegetable. So when we have established more big data, then we could know that which area, in fact, in short of certain products, which area we have oversupply, which area are the area to plant more. So these are the things we want to integrate in one system. Then right now, even though the Ministry of Economy, basically they're helping us to do the Banchian Pertanian.
Okay.
So this is one of the direction we look forward.
All right. Chan, thank you so much for speaking with me. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
That was Deputy Minister of Agriculture and Food Security, Chan Fung Hin. That wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.